we'll do all right. We just never get past being a sinner. Only a sinner. I started only a sinner, and by the grace of God, I'll end only a sinner, saved by grace. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. We'll finish this up, Lord willing. We left off in verse 6, the last time we looked at this chapter. And last week, we looked at Numbers chapter 13 and 14. We saw the incident that brought, or that is quoted in this scripture, which is actually quoted from Psalm 95. Psalm 95 is where David is quoting this scripture. But you'll notice that the author of that scripture, or the quotation of it, put it that way, the quotation of it is said to be the Holy Spirit. He doesn't attribute it to David. He said, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost saith. Now the apostle here, he turns to warning the Hebrews and us about an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. This troubles me. Coldness of heart troubles me. Growing cold and indifferent is something I honestly fear. I honestly fear growing cold and indifferent coming here, standing in this pulpit, cold and indifferent. I fear that. I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want you to come here because it's Thursday night, because it's Sunday. I want us to come together to hear from God. And it should be the first thing we do when we get up in the mornings, to ask God to enable me to study, to receive the message, and that when we come together here, that the Lord Jesus Christ is honored and you are fed. You are edified. You grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or we've wasted our time. It's not that we've wasted our time. Really, it's just evil for any other thing to happen, for any other purpose. And that's what he's warning against here. An evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Because of trials that they were going through. They were going through some hard times. Now, you and I have never seen really hard times over the gospel like they are seeing, or like they saw. We've never seen it. And some were being tempted to go back to the sacrifices. False teachers had come along and was enticing them to go back under the sacrifices, to go back under the old covenant. That what they were believing was foolishness. What they had done in leaving the old covenant and leaving the law, leaving the ceremonies, those false teachers were telling them, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. And life had become difficult on them for following the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, with much persecution, with much tribulation shall ye enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not an easy road. Straight's the gate and narrow's the way. They say, you're narrow-minded. Well, I'm as narrow-minded as the Word of God is. As narrow as that gate is. And hopefully as straight as that way is. There's only one way, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's straight. And that's narrow. Because there's only one way, and that's Christ. So they were being, some of them anyway, were being drawn back. You know, that's what Paul, look over in Galatians chapter 1. Here in Galatians chapter 1, listen to this. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, I marvel. I'm astonished that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. There is no other gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostle writing this to the Hebrews here, he knows that the same thing's happening to them. He knows that. And so what he does here, he uses Israel of old as an example of what not to do. Don't turn back. In their heart, they were constantly turning back to Egypt. Every time trouble rose, wish we'd never left Egypt. Wish we'd died in Egypt. Every time something come up, it was a little hardship. That was a trouble. They wanted to go back. It's not going back. It's going forward. Listen, whatever you and I go through, and remember this, it's just part of the journey home. It's ordained of God. It's already set in stone. We're going to go through it. And the Lord's going to help us go through it. He's going to enable us to go through it. And we're going to come out of it like Job said, when he has tried me, I'll come out as gold. I'll come out as gold. I'll come out better than when I went in. That's what he's saying. And so what he's doing here, he's warning of this evil heart of unbelief. He's warning here about being religious but lost. I don't want to be religious but lost. I don't want to come up short. And that's what he's talking about. The apostle's not trying to get us to doubt, because to doubt is not to believe. There's no virtue in doubting. Doubting is unbelief. That's exactly what doubting is. It's unbelief. He's not trying to get us to doubt our salvation, but to give diligence. To give diligence to faith in Christ. If there's anything in this life that we must give diligence to, it's this. It's our relationship to Jesus Christ. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. To follow Him at all cost. And never look back. Never look back. It's to be grounded and settled in the faith. That's what he says over in Colossians. That's what Paul writes to the Colossians. To be settled and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am confident that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I am confident that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. I'm confident that Jesus Christ is Almighty God in the flesh. And I'm confident He's my Redeemer. He's my sacrifice. His blood is the blood of the atonement for my sins. I'm confident of that. And what he's saying is, don't lose that. Don't lose that. Don't let this thing of unbelief creep up. And I'm telling you right now, it can creep up faster, a lot more than you think it does. Have you ever put a question mark on, why is God doing this? Why has God put me through this? Why? That's unbelief. Unbelief. And the slightest unbelief hardens the heart. It has a hardening effect to it. The slightest unbelief has a hardening effect to it. And do not judge God's care of you. We sing a song that has this line in it, by feeble sense. Feelings come and feelings go. As that verse goes, feelings not worth believing. Are they? Feel good today, feel bad tomorrow, feel good. Aren't you glad salvation is not based on the way you feel? A believer now, a believer rarely feels saved. They don't. They take God's word at it. They take God's word at it. We joy in Christ. We hope in Christ. But we don't trust our feelings because they're just too fickle. We take God at His word. He said, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I take God at His word on that. He that comes to me, I'll never cast him out. I take God's word on that. I take Him at His word on that. As the scripture says over in the Old Testament, as He said, shall He not do? Absolutely. Absolutely. You can take God at His word. Now He says here in verse 7, wherefore, therefore, looking back there, actually verse 6, because it says here back in verse 6, but Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. That being so, therefore, as the Holy Ghost, now listen, and I caught this when I was just upstairs a little bit ago, as the Holy Ghost saith, He didn't say as the Holy Ghost has said. It's present tense. He's speaking now. He's speaking now. And what He's saying, now listen. The Spirit of God speaking. And this gives weight to what has been said. As the Holy Ghost saith, the author of this scripture, which is Psalm 95, as well as all the scriptures, is the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God. God used men to write the scriptures, but they wrote as they were moved by God. This is the Word of God. It's not a commentary. I've got a whole library up there full of commentaries that I read less and less. I read this more and more. I'm finding this to be more and more important. And I read the commentaries less and less. But this is the Word of God. Scripture interprets Scripture. All Scripture is given, it says, by inspiration of God. Yes, God used men to write. He used their personalities. It comes out in their writing. But everything we have right here is what God had written. What He had written. Now, why is He pointing this out that the Holy Spirit said this instead of David? He said this to give weight to what He's about to deal with. This thing of unbelief. If you were to pick out the worst of sins, it would be unbelief. I know most people pick out all kinds of different things that we would count to be the worst. But unbelief is the root of why people do what they do. Unbelief is the reason Adam did what he did. As one writer said, it's the mother of all sins. All sin begins with unbelief. Every sin. I don't care how little it is, how big it is. It begins with unbelief. Not believing God who cannot lie. Calling God a liar. That's what unbelief does. Unbelief, and this is what Israel did in wilderness. They proved him. They put him to the test for 40 years. And here's what they were saying. You're lying. You won't take care of us. You won't deliver us into the promised land. Unbelief is calling God a liar. That's what unbelief does. So he says this, and he's pointing this out, that the Holy Spirit said this to give weight to what he's going to talk about here, is this unbelief. Going back under the old covenant, going back to bondage. Back to bondage. But as the Holy Ghost saith today, you see, it's present tense. He saith today. If you will hear His voice, His voice is the voice you want to hear. Do you? Let me ask you now, seriously. Do you want to hear His voice tonight? Do you really? Do I really? Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. Is that really, really my heart? I want to hear God speak. I want to hear His voice tonight. What's He saying to me? Well, first of all, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Come to me and I'll give you rest. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, I've learned this over the years. I come to Christ every day for rest. 40 years ago, I heard the gospel and I believed the gospel and I found rest. But you know, I have found over the years that I still have to come to Him every day for rest. Lord, help me rest. Help me rest in You. Help me quiet this inward turmoil. Quiet indwelling sin. Give me rest in my mind, in my heart. Give me the ability to trust You no matter what the storm is, no matter how bad the storm is. Give me the ability to rest and have peace and trust You all the way through it. However long it takes. You know, some trials are short and some are long. Some are long. And what he's talking about here is, he's going to be talking about here is perseverance in the faith. Continuing. You know, I can tell you how I know if a person has been saved. It's when they die in the faith. When they die, these all died in faith. If I draw back, and this is one of the things he's dealing with, if I draw back and I lose my interest in Christ, if I lose that, I never had it, first of all. I never had it. This matter of once saved, always saved is so messed up. Once in grace, always in grace. Like it happened the day that I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. My eternal security started before the world was started. That's where my eternal security is in God, who is eternal. That's my eternal security. It's in Christ, who stood for me in the covenant of grace. That's my eternal security. And if I have that, if God has given that to me, and if I'm His, and you're His, we will persevere in the faith. We will do it. But if any man draws back, Paul said, my soul has no pleasure in him. The reason I'm bringing this out is because if someone said to me, here, this has been probably a year ago, he doesn't believe the gospel of God's grace, Arminian as can be, but he made a profession back when he was a young man. Then he went off. He's still just a drunk. He's an alcoholic. Womanizer. Of course, he's gotten old now, so it's hard for him to do either one. That's so. It's hard for him to keep up with it now. He can't do either one. But he told me. He said, I believe when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. And you know why he believed that? Because something he did years ago. He accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. I believe in eternal, in the once saved, always saved. And I thought, boy, you're in sad, sad shape. Sad, sad shape. But let's get back to this. I want you to note the urgency in these words. He says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Don't put a question mark on God's word. Don't start saying, but this, but that. No, don't harden your hearts. But listen and receive His word. As in the provocation or rebellion in the day of temptation or testing in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works in providence, all that God did for them. For 40 years, they saw this. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. We know that salvation is of the Lord. We know that. We know that just with beyond a shadow of a doubt, salvation is of the Lord. We know that God has a chosen people. We know that He'll call them by His Spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Christ died for them. Christ redeemed them. We know that. But the apostle here is warning us. He's saying here, guard your hearts. You know, Solomon said that to his son. My son, give me thine heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart at all times, at all costs. They are always subject to attacks of unbelief. You know that. You know, if you know yourself, you know that it's subject to unbelief. You know, if you look back at your life, you'll think, why did God put me through this? Or just putting a question, just a why. Just a... Instead of resting, it's the Lord. Let Him do as He will. Trusting. Trusting. And once unbelief starts to grow, it grows rapidly. It grows rapidly. But also here, we should never presume that God will speak to our hearts at any time. We should never. Every time we come, listen, this is not a right, this is a privilege. What we have right now is a privilege. It's a privilege. To have the gospel preached is a privilege. It's an act of God's grace. And we should never presume that God's going to speak at any time. He may not. Remember last week when Moses told them that what God was going to do to them for not believing, for not going? And they said, all right, we'll go. And it's too late. Too late. They tried to go and a bunch of them was killed. It's too late. God commands response today. Today. To think I have tomorrow is presumption. I didn't create tomorrow, did you? God did. God did. I have right now. And that's what He's saying. Today, if you'll hear His voice, and right now, here, at this time, Lord, speak. Speak to my heart. Speak to the heart of the people right now. Through Your Word, give me an interest. He gives this warning. Harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts against the truth. A hardened heart is an evil heart of unbelief. This was Israel's sin in the wilderness. They murmured. In one place, God said, I hear your murmuring. Now listen, this is important. All murmuring, all complaining comes from a heart of unbelief. Remember that. All complaining. You say, well, I believe the gospel. Let me say something here. Let me see if I can put this to where I'm not muddying up the water. When Scripture talks about us believing God, it's not just believing God concerning redemption. It's not believing God just concerning the 5 points of Calvinism, what we call the doctrines of grace. When a believer believes God, that believer believes God for absolutely everything. For time and eternity. That's what it involves. It's not just, I believe God for this, but I'm having trouble with it. No. We believe God. When we believe God for absolutely everything. We trust Him for our daily food. You know, it's just as important that I trust God for my daily food as I trust God for my salvation. Listen, it's the same faith. It's the same faith. is to trust Him at all times, in all situations. That's why he's saying here, Israel murmured, they complained, and the reason they complained, and the reason anytime we complain, we don't believe God. It's unbelief. They refused to enter the promised land because the people were giants. They repeatedly didn't believe God in the face of all the miracles that they witnessed. They saw the Red Sea, the manna from heaven, water out of the rock. Well, if I saw all that, I'd believe God. Listen, you and I have a greater witness. This is better than seeing the Red Sea parted. This is better than seeing the manna in the morning. We have God's Word. Take Him at His Word. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. They did not believe God. They professed to know God. But now listen, in works they denied Him. In their life, in their conduct, they denied what they said they believed. Faith and conduct always go together. Now take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. This is serious business. And notice this. He says, take heed, brethren, not a bunch of atheists. He calls them brethren. Well, first of all, he calls them brethren because he's speaking to them in love. That's why he's writing this. It's in love. But he's speaking here to those who confess Christ. Not for a bunch of atheists, but people who profess to believe. And he knew that some of them were teetering on going back. Or the Holy Spirit would not have moved him to write this. This is so important for us because it's written. If it wasn't important, it wouldn't be written. It wouldn't be written. And here's a mistake I believe that Israel made. And we see it. If you go back and read their history going through the wilderness. And I think that we have got so many today in preaching that they present God as one who exists only to meet our needs. God does not exist to meet my needs. He's someone to be worshipped. He's someone to be believed. He's someone to be absolutely 100% committed to. Trusted. I tell you, let's beware of this kind of spirit that God's just supposed to answer my prayer, like, you know, give me what I want. You know, I've been maybe prayed about something and it hasn't happened. Well, that's where we say, Lord, thy will be done. That's how that prayer ends. Thy will. When the Lord taught his disciples to pray, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. In my house, as in heaven. Now, how do we fight such an evil heart of unbelief? Here's how we do it in verse 13. But exhort one another daily. Encourage one another daily. It's not just for the preacher here. This is for you also. Call on one another. Talk to one another. Encourage one another. Speak to one another of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold one another up. Don't be a stumbling block, but hold one another up. While it is called today, that's wow. You know, it's only for a while. while is only for a while. So while it's called today, God has given us, this is a day of grace. We are standing in a day of grace. And here I stand preaching the gospel. We're reading His word. And He's saying one more time today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, harden not your hearts now. Stir one another up. You know how we do this? By our own faithfulness. By our own faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do it? By our love to one another. Expressing our love to one another. As the scripture says, love not in word only, but in deed and in truth. The word says, provoke one another to love. And the only way you can provoke someone to love is to love them. That's how you provoke someone to love. That's how you move someone to love. Is by loving them. I tell you, sin is so deceitful. It has such a hardening effect that we need to encourage one another, look after one another, call one another. Don't just wait till we meet here. Call on one another, especially if you hear someone's having a difficult time. Because sooner or later, your turn will come. I promise you, sooner or later, your turn will come. You know, people usually leave the gospel little by little, and they don't even realize what's happening. This excuse, that excuse, before long, they don't even need an excuse. They don't even show up anymore. They just quit coming, and they drift away. Drift away. Slip. Beware lest you let these things slip. Take heed lest you let these things slip. Drift away. Now, note, while it is called today, while the gospel is still being preached here today, believe now. I tell you what, every time I get up every morning, and you do too, whether you even realize it or not, you believe all over again. Don't you? You believe all over again. Every day we believe God. And it says in verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ. We are beneficiaries of all that Christ has done, all that He is. We are united to the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that everything God's given Him belongs to us too. If, boy, what a big if. If we hold the beginning of our confidence. When you first came to Christ, you were confident He's able to save you. You were confident He's the Savior and there is no other. You were confident that He is God and there is no other. Hold that. Keep that. Grow in that. Don't lose that. We continue in the faith. We continue to look to Christ alone for all we need to the end of our lives on this earth. And then we die in the faith. I want to be among those written of in Hebrews 11. These all died in faith. They all died believing God. I didn't die believing a doctrine, a system. I died believing God. Now don't think, though, after saying that, don't think that our perseverance qualifies us for heaven. It reveals that we are truly born of God. That's what perseverance reveals, that you were truly born of God. He says in verse 15, while it said today, if you will hear His voice, I want to hear His voice. Lord, speak. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, the rebellion. For some, when they heard, They heard God speak. They heard God give the promise of God giving them that land. And when it came time to get it, they wouldn't go over. They wouldn't go over. And they tested God. They tested Him. That's why I say, you tested me time and time again. Now in the Greek, that means they tested Him again to see whether there'd be good or evil in Him. It's to test a person to see what that person is made of. Can you imagine that? A worm like us testing God to see if there's good or bad in Him? But howbeit, listen, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, not all of them was lost. Not all of them provoked God. There were some that believed. God has a remnant. God has a people. Not all of them like that, but most of them were. Most of them were. But some of them heard God and they still provoked Him. God told them to go possess the land. They said, I don't think so. Those giants, here's what unbelief says. And you remember the message last week. Unbelief says, Lord, those giants are bigger than you. Those giants are bigger than you. That's unbelief. Caleb said, what was it, Caleb? Caleb said, let's take it. It's good. He said, the Lord's with us. Let's go get it. That's faith. Faith doesn't see the giants bigger than God. It sees God bigger than everything. Bigger than everything. And everyone. Over in Deuteronomy 1:8, it says, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. You say, would that ever happen to me? Could I ever have such a heart of unbelief? Well, He wouldn't be giving us a warning if we wouldn't stand in danger of it. If we didn't stand in danger of it. Because I tell you what, there's more unbelief in every believer in here than you and I would ever want to know of and admit to. All right, now closing. You and I have heard a greater call. We've heard the call of the gospel. We've heard the call of grace. Remember, He said, take heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You go back over to verse 1, and it says that He has spoken to us by His Son. We've heard the Son of God Himself has spoken. We've heard a greater call. A greater call. We've been delivered from the bondage of sin. We've professed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what He says. Continue to believe. In the face of all opposition, all trouble, don't you back down. Don't you get an evil heart of putting a question mark over God's care of you, over God's Word. You continue to go on. You continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ until the day you lay on that bed and you're taking your last breath and you're about to go into the land of Canaan. I want to be like Caleb, where it says he was of another spirit. He believed God. He was ready to go. He was ready to take off. Don't draw back and don't presume, but don't quit. Don't quit. Everyone who leaves will leave because of unbelief. It's evident they never knew God. And I scribbled this out here just a little bit ago. I thought, how does this apply to us in this day? Because we don't live under the law, the ceremonial laws, or You know, we're not drawn back to that. We don't have anybody trying to draw us back to offering sacrifices and stuff. And I thought about this. I thought, how does this apply to me in this day? Well, I thought about family. Family can put pressure on you. Some people I know, I've known one that was kicked out from the family. He that loves mother, father, sister, brother more than me is not worthy of me. Career, our career, putting it first. Going after, get it established first. Ourselves, personal interest in our things, in other things. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Those things creep in. Now, what I'm telling you, these things creep in. And false religion, giving too much attention to it. Too much attention to it. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking again to us here on Thursday night. Lord, let me hear your voice. Speak to my heart. Break my heart. Bring me to you. Let me arrest my attention. Let me learn of you. Flame that interest that you gave me 40 years ago. Flame that interest. Don't let it grow cold, and don't let me grow cold and indifferent. It can happen because I can look back in my life, especially when I was in business. I can look back at a time when I was in business and I was starting to grow cold. I was starting to get a little indifferent. I can look back and I can tell you the truth. It was pulling me away like a magnet to steal. And God, by His grace, removed it. He removed it.